Let us first turn to our Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 66 to verse 71, which is our text for this evening. John 6, verse 66, verse 71. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, died on the cross. And he was on the cross for a total of 6 hours, from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. And in those 6 hours when he was on the cross, he spoke 7 words. He spoke 7 times. And the words of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross were words of eternal life. Yes, throughout his ministry on earth, he preached the gospel. He spoke concerning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. How we might be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way but by him. And even on the cross, his dying words were words of eternal life. And I'm sure you're here tonight to hear again the words of eternal life. The words of men cannot save. Only the words of God can save us from our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, he was God. And at the same time, he was also man. He was both God and man. He was our perfect representative and our substitute. And he died for our sins. And he spoke a total of 7 times, these 7 words on the cross. And the number 7 is significant. The number 7 is the number of God. The number 7 is also the number of perfection. The words on the cross were the words of God. And these perfect words are the perfect words of eternal life. And this evening, we want to consider the words of Jesus on the cross one by one. A total of 7 of them. And may we appreciate and understand these words of grace, of mercy and of life, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the bread and the cup afterwards. The first word was a word of forgiveness. We would think that after Jesus had gone through all that suffering and all that pain, all the injustice and all the evil that we had heaped on him, for he was crucified by wicked hands, and how they tortured the Lord, how they beat him, how they scourged him, how they mocked him, how they reviled at him. He was truly humiliated. And he was put to shame. And finally he was nailed to the cross by wicked and evil hands, your hands, my hands, that put him on the cross. And you would think that Jesus would be filled with hatred for those who had crucified him. But no, Jesus was not filled with hatred. In fact, when he was nailed to the cross, he was full of love. He was full of mercy. And his first words on the cross were not words of hatred or anger, but words of mercy and words of love. And that shows that Jesus is no ordinary man. He was both God and man. He is our Savior. And that's why such words could come out of His mouth. What were those words? Remember what Jesus said? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. The very first words were the words of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And these were the words that Jesus spoke to those who shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And even the wicked governor Pilate, when he examined Jesus, found Jesus to be without fault, without guilt. He was sinless. And Pilate wanted to release Jesus. But they shouted and cried all the more, crucify him, crucify him. And Jesus on the cross said, forgive them, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And by so praying, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53 verse 12, which Elder Hahn read at the very beginning. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. What amazing love. And when Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did the Father answer the Son's prayer? God always hears the prayer of His beloved Son. And He will answer. Indeed, the Father answered that prayer and granted the request of His beloved Son. The Father could have struck all those who had crucified the Lord dead at that point in time. Surely the Father in heaven was filled with righteous indignation for the injustice that Jesus had to go through. Surely He was righteously angry with all the sinners. But on account of the prayer of His Son, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Father forgave them and allowed them to live on. They were not struck dead at that point in time. And in fact, the forgiveness of the Lord is seen by how later on the gospel of salvation, the good news, went to the Jews. The very ones who put Jesus on the cross, even to us. For later on, in Acts chapter 2, the gospel was preached and 3,000 got saved at Pentecost. And then later in Acts chapter 4, we find 5,000 being converted. And then in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, we are told, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Surely, God the Father answered the prayer of God the Son. Father, forgive them, forgive them. And the Father not only forgave them, but saved them from their sins later on when the gospel was preached. Not only did Jesus forgive them, but Jesus also kept Himself sinless on the cross. You know, Jesus, when He was on the cross, He was being tempted by the devil. At the beginning of His ministry, Jesus was driven into the wilderness and He was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And you remember the temptation, don't you? One of the temptations was, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Satan brought Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and tempted Him. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And Jesus never yielded to the temptation. And you know the story, don't you? How Jesus was victorious to conquer the temptations, to overcome the temptations of the devil one by one, and kept Himself sinless and holy, so that He might fulfill all righteousness. He kept the Ten Commandments for you and for me. And now on the cross, Satan tempted Him again. When Jesus was on the cross, and he was physically very weak. He was in pain. He was afflicted. He was most vulnerable. And how did Satan tempt the Lord? He tempted the Lord again with these words. Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Come down from the cross. That was a temptation. And if Jesus had yielded to that temptation and had come down from the cross, Satan would have won. But praise be unto God. Jesus endured the cross. Jesus endured the pain and overcame all the temptations of the devil, not only at the beginning, but even at the end when he was on the cross. He endured the cross and the shame for us. And surely as Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 tells us, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so right now, if you are filled with anxieties and worries, the burdens of this life, you are carrying and you find it very hard to bear. And you know you have sinned against God and you are plagued with the guilt of sin. You just run to Jesus and kneel before the cross. And please don't say, Jesus cannot understand me. Jesus doesn't know what I'm going through. No, he was tempted and he was tested in all points like as we are. He understands and he feels for us. He feels with us and he knows how to meet our every need. Just cry out to him. He is our great high priest and he will help us. So the first word on the cross was a word of forgiveness. What was the second word? Second word was a word of salvation. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, the Jewish cleric, the soldiers and the thieves beside him kept up with the jeering. They jeered at him. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, the Christ, the chosen of God, let him come down from the cross that we may see. And we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. In other words, they wanted Jesus to perform a miracle. Now, if Jesus is so powerful, and if you are the Son of God, then perform a miracle right now. Come down from the cross. Do something spectacular. And then we will believe in you. Jesus did not dignify them with a response. And he did not humor them with a miracle. In fact, in his ministry, in his teaching ministry, he already said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh for a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In other words, Jesus says, yes, there will be a sign. This sign will be performed after I die. And it is the greatest miracle that Jesus performed. For he rose from the dead. A most powerful miracle indeed. In 3 days' time, Jesus said, they will see an earth-shaking sign and miracle, the resurrection. You know, these were the words of eternal life on the cross. And we are thankful to know that at least one of the thieves on the cross believed, confessed and repented of his sin and believed. The two thieves, one on each side, both reviled at him at first. But one of the thieves, when he heard the wonderful words of life, the words of eternal life from Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he was convicted, and he was converted. He understood that he deserved to be on the cross, but Jesus was a righteous man. For if Jesus was a sinner, an unrighteous man, such words would not come out of his mouth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when he heard those words of eternal life, he repented. And then he told the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me. And the word remember is a covenantal word. Word of salvation. Lord, remember me. If you want to be saved, you can pray a simple prayer and just cry to the Lord. Just two words enough. Remember me. Remember me. Are you still outside of God's kingdom? Are you still in your sin? Are you sure that if you were to die tonight, or if Christ were to come back tonight, you'll be in heaven? If you're not sure, you better make sure. Are you born again? Are your sins washed away? If not, right now you can pray this prayer. And you say, I don't know how to pray. Well, let me teach you. Just a simple prayer. Just these two words you utter to the Lord Jesus. Remember me. And the Lord will remember. And when the thief on the cross, this repentant thief, said these words, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What did Jesus say? Now, Jesus on the cross, remember, he insulted the Lord Jesus just a moment ago. But Jesus was full of compassion. You know, the moment we confess our sins, he is very, very quick to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A moment ago, he was reviling at Jesus. And then the next moment, he says, Lord, forgive me. Remember me. And then immediately, you know, Jesus gave these words of life. Jesus didn't give him, you know, a good scolding first. No. Immediately, forgiven. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a promise. On that very day itself, he would be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? The thief on the cross had nothing to offer. In fact, he deserved to be there. In fact, he deserved to go to hell for having blasphemed the Son of God on the cross. But when he said, remember me, the Lord forgave him. And when he was on the cross, he could offer no good works. He could do nothing. It is not by good works that we can be saved. Only by what? By grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. By believing in his eternal words of life. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And the thief on the cross finally understood that. Lord, I cannot go to anyone else. I can only look at you. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These were the words of eternal life. He heard, got convicted, and got saved. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so, this evening, if you will pray and tell the Lord that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the work of salvation is not man's work, but altogether God's work. The thief could not help himself. He was hopeless and helpless. And yes, it is only when you find yourself, you understand that you are a hopeless and helpless person, that the only one who can help you and give you hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then can you be saved. You must humble yourself to the dust. You must become zero and Jesus 100. Then you can be saved. And the third word on the cross was a word of filial piety. Behold thy mother. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at the foot of the cross. And Jesus did not forget his mother. And Jesus on the cross told told his beloved disciple, John, take care of Mary. Behold thy mother. And he told Mary, woman, behold thy son. And by so doing, the Lord fulfilled and kept the fifth commandment, the commandment of filial piety. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord on the cross kept that commandment. You see, Jesus, throughout his life, kept the Ten Commandments for you and for me. By his active obedience. For if we want to see God, we must be pure in heart. If we want to see God, we must keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. Of course, we cannot. We are born in sin. We live in sin. We have broken the Ten Commandments. But that is God's requirement. We must be perfect as He is perfect, holy as He is holy. And how can we be perfect and holy? Keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, and then we can go to heaven. Problem is, we are already disqualified from the get-go, from the beginning, because we are born in sin. And we have broken the commandments already. But how to fulfill this requirement? Jesus must fulfill that requirement for us. And even on the cross, He kept that commandment. He kept the law. The fifth commandment at this point. And made sure Mary was well taken care of. And you know, from 12 noon to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, 3 hours, there was a supernatural darkness that enveloped the land. And the noonday sun shone no light at that point. And this darkness, what does it mean? Darkness is a symbol of God's judgment. And at that point in time, the weight and the burden of sin, the sin of the world, was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, Jesus, as our substitute, suffered most greatly. He went through a most intense agony, indescribable woe, pain, suffering, isolation, and forsakenness. Hell came to Calvary on that day. And Jesus, our Savior, descended into it and bore its horrors in our stead. And at this point in time, Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, was made sin for us and a curse. And our sin was laid upon Him. And that's why He said these words. And what was His fourth word? His fourth word on the cross was, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was spoken at 3 p.m. That was the final hour. And Jesus spoke His fourth word, a most agonizing cry, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And these words were taken from Psalm 22, verse 1. We have read it at our responsive reading. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when Jesus said those words on the cross, quoting Psalm 22 verse 1, Jesus was saying, I have fulfilled the messianic prophecy of Psalm 22 verse 1. See, Psalm 22 verse 1 was pointing to the Lord Jesus and His work on the cross. And Jesus saying, I am the fulfillment of Psalm 22 verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And indeed, Jesus was on the cross. And He was on the cross alone. What did Jesus mean when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, when Jesus was on the cross, He was the only one who was there, and He was the only one who paid the penalty of our sin. It was the second person of the Trinity. It was the Son of God and the Son of Man who died for us. It's not God the Father who died for us on the cross. It was not God the Holy Spirit. It was God the Son. He alone died for our sins on the cross. For as Calvin says, the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. And at that juncture, at that time on the cross, when Jesus cried out those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that point, he was left all alone. The Father could not help him. The Holy Spirit could not assist him. He had to die on the cross alone and suffer there alone for our sins. How he loved us. And in fact, the words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The meaning of it is so wonderfully captured in the hymn that we had just sung, Alone. Then his fifth word on the cross. His fifth word was, I thirst, I thirst. And when Jesus said, I thirst, it fulfills Psalm 22, verse 15, which says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. And it also fulfills Psalm 69:21. In my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And when Jesus said, I thirst, it demonstrated his true humanity. Jesus was truly man. And he can suffer pain like you and me. And so by thirsting, Jesus showed his true humanity and showed how he was not only fully God, but also fully man. And he was our representative and our substitute. And he only is our Savior. He saved us from our sins. And then the sixth word on the cross. The sixth word on the cross was the word of accomplishment. It is finished. It is finished. After Jesus took the vinegar, he gave his sixth word. It is finished. What is finished? Well, his redemptive work on earth is done. It is finished. In other words, mission accomplished. The mission that God the Father had given him to do, to die for the sins of the world. And by the shedding of his blood, our sins can all be forgiven, washed away. That mission was accomplished. He had appeased the wrath of God. And by the shedding of his blood, our sins are all covered. It is finished. The entire work of redemption, both his active and passive obedience. As a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not open his mouth. The Lord willingly and voluntarily gave his life for us. And he fulfilled the law and bore the curse of our sin on the cross. And he completed the work of salvation for us. It is finished. And then his final word, the seventh word. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And after he said these words, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit. He breathed his last. And these very last words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, show the loving relationship that God the Son had with God the Father. And the Son has accomplished to the last iota what the Father had commissioned him to do. And Jesus was a perfectly obedient Son. And I'm sure when Jesus on the cross said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, how would the Father respond? I'm sure the Father in heaven would reply to him, yes, well done, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus was promoted. He was exalted and now is sitting at the right hand of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will come back one day and he will come back to judge this wicked world, which is becoming more and more wicked. But for us who are saved, who believe, the Lord will remember us and we will be either raptured, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, or we will be resurrected if we die in the Lord. And we look forward to that day. So Jesus' dying words of eternal life, though uttered 2,000 years ago, are for you and for me today. Are you looking for meaning in life? Are you searching for the way to heaven? Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want to make peace with God? And if you want answers to these important questions in life, please don't look to any other place. Because if you look at any other place, you're looking at the wrong place. There's only one place which will give you true answers. And it is in this book, the Holy Bible, that will give to you the words of eternal life, that will give you answers to all the questions you're seeking. It will save you. Please don't go to any philosopher or to any man. There's only one person who can answer all these questions. And that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins. Go to Him. And He speaks to you from this Word, the perfect, infallible, inerrant Word of God, which is not only infallible, inerrant in the past, it is infallible, inerrant today. And these words of life can save you today. Do you believe? Will you not say, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have you heard the dying words of eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray you hear it loud and clear tonight. And you believe. And you are sure that you're on your way to heaven. And you can only be sure if you hear the words of the Savior. For only He has the words of eternal life. And then you will live forever and you will never die.